very happy. That does aspect elderly. Used to be with our daily ministry and do for Christ, but right now it's very much involved in business for missions. We have traveled around this region, and he has so much to share with us about the work that he's doing and how God has really guided him and helped him and blessed him. This morning, he will be sharing with us on the Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 14, by faith or by grace.
Thank you for preparing a chair for me. Sounds a bit like preparing a house for me to benefit from me. Thank you very much. I was tense until I feel very painful. Then I said, okay, try to not must use it until I cannot use it. You stop using it, then you cannot use it very soon. I think you remember that I've been doing the book of Galatians with you, and last year we put it to the one and two, and this session and next session will be three, and then a few months later I'll come back to four. Then next year I'll do it at the five and the six, and I can do it four sessions, or I can do it six sessions, depending on whether I want to be back in. Lengthen it and let them go. If you likely you have forgotten what we said about chapter 1 and 2 and 9 and same with me now very clear. But if nothing else, just remember the key verse in Galatians 2:20. And I memorized it when I was young, and I just remains in my mind. It was my key verse. All my life was always going back. Galatians 2:20 and 21. Let me just put verse 20 to uncrucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, now here, here on this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, loved him, and gave himself to me. Cause I do not frustrate the grace of God. That's what he is saying. Grace of God is. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died to death. No need for Christ to die if it is all of us performing the right. So this morning we'll look at chapter 3. This verse will get us into chapter 3. Dear Father, as we look at your word, please help us to understand it. Sometimes we do not apply our minds, and so the words in the word are difficult. But if we will apply it, if we will apply our minds to your word, we know that the Holy Spirit who lives in us will help us and give us understanding. And not only give us understanding, help transform our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 starts with three very harsh words, very harsh words. You foolish Galatians. Singaporeans will say it differently now. Why so stupid? Right? Why were the Galatians so foolish to trade grace for race? Why trade grace for race? Why, after believing in Christ to be right with God, they switch to being right with God through their works? So we read in verse 1, verse 6, what Paul wrote. You foolish Galatians, we got a Bible, please follow. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? One more time he said it. After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Starting right ending wrong. Have you experienced so much in vain? If really it was in vain. After beginning by means of the spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Why treat the gospel of God's grace for the gospel of performance? I must perform and deserve God. These words, all foolish Galatians must have heard. The Galatians badly, right? If someone said to you, why are you so stupid? It would have hurt you. However, it was needed to shake them out of deception. When a person is deceived, it is very hard to get his attention. You realize? When someone believes in something, you try to get him to see that this is not entirely true, but they will not listen. So at times, strong words are needed, and even the possibility of losing friendship. My daughter always risks losing her friendship with her childhood friend whenever she tells them that Joseph Prince teaches unbiblically. Some may say, only at times. However, we must ask ourselves, what is deception? And the illustration for deception given is about an innkeeper selling wine. This is an illustration that I learned from Alan Catchpole years ago. When a customer is slightly drunk, tipsy, and still wants to drink, now, the wine served to him will be mixed with water. That's deception. The motivation is not to help the customer, but to make more profit. Deception is to mix into truth, falsehood. Mix water into the wine is deception. Makes into truth some falsehood. The Galatian believers were deceived by Judaizers to think that trusting only on the cross is not enough. But their deception was so deep until Paul likened it to being bewitched or under a spell. And of course, a television like to make Bewitched is a nice piece. You've seen the show years ago, not now. Years ago, Bewitched is so nice. But Bewitched is a terrible thing. To be under a spell, you cannot think clearly. That's why in verse 5 to 7, Paul continues to say, so again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. These three words, sons of Abraham, is very foundational to a Jewish identity. It signifies a covenantal relationship passing through Isaac, Jacob, later known as Israel. Abraham is the first to enter into a covenant with God. So he said, sons of Abraham, telling the Judaizers, catching their attention, and he's reminding the Galatians that faith was not by genes, that it is faith and it's not genes that make them sons of Abraham. Faith and not DNA. Faith and not genes make them sons of Abraham. So Paul is asking them, who is the true sons of God? Who is the real Israelite? Who are the chosen people of God? The answer is found in the verse, those who believe. If you study the life of Abraham, you will see that his life is always consistently associated with faith. His relationship with God is based on faith. And if you have studied the life of Abraham, you will learn that there were three huge moments where Abraham demonstrated faith, belief in God. Of course, every day he must live by faith, but there were three poignant, huge moments where Abraham demonstrated faith in God. Firstly, through obeying. Through obeying. When God told Abraham to leave his homeland for an unspecific destination, he obeyed. I don't know, you know. I don't know how they got a build him, you know, shining light, burning fire. Nothing was recorded on how spectacular was God's appearing to Abraham. Actually, his name there was Abraham. Nothing is recorded, but he obeyed. We read this in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he will later receive as his inheritance, obeyed Abraham, even though he did not know where he was going. That was all. He was just asked to go, a place that he doesn't know. But he went. Now, you can show the map now. The map is a good time to show now. It is very interesting to note that Abraham's father, Haran, moved his family from Ur, actually here, lower Mesopotamia, up to Haran. Mesopotamia is a modern day Iraq, and Haran is a modern day Turkey. Notice they were traveling along the what? The river Euphrates. You know, why do people in the olden days travel along rivers? Nowadays they fly, huh? Why? Why do people travel by river? Well, yes. Yes, you will have water, and then with water you will have resources, food, right? Food sources, huh? And it's also easy to travel, you know, along water away because it's fertile. And not so difficult. Maybe some part they will make rough and float down. It's not too bad. Not too difficult. For Abraham's father, his name was Terah, moved his family from Ur to. So he's moving from one good location to another good location. Because, you know, along the river, there will be towns, there will be cities, there will be somewhat prosperity. However, Abraham's journey from heaven down to Canaan, you see, number two, was very difficult. It is roughly about 400 miles southwestward. It's a trek across arid plains, mountainous regions, and hazardous eastern edge of the desert. Not so easy to obey. Along the river, easy. And now, just moving from one fertile land to another fertile land. I will go down south westward. It's a different matter. God asked Abraham, to leave his country, his relatives, his father's house, Haran, down to Canaan. It was a major step of faith. Moving away from a developed town to the unknown, it requires obedience. So the first huge moment of faith in Abraham's life is that he demonstrated faith in God by obeying. Now, In your theological understanding, you will think it is by believing first and obeying, right? But the first man was obeying. And this is something that's very critical for us Christians to understand. We always say, God, you know, if you show me that you love me, then I will obey. But if you stand in the Bible, and I've preached about this, I think here before, it's always to obey than experiencing God's love. You always say, God, no, show me something, lah. Obey, show me something, lah. You know, like the brother says, no, we are blessed, not exactly all the blessing we want. So if you can give me that extra blessing, then I. No, it's always obey. God is your God. Believe and pray. At that time, God was his God. How he came to know God, we don't know. How God appeared to him, we don't know. But God was his God, and God says, go. And he went. Okay. That was the first great moment. The second great moment was believing. Though Abraham was nearly 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 80 years old and barren, yet finally he believed God's promise that he would have a son and had descendants as numerous as the stars. Believing can be equally difficult, right? In the case of Abraham, it took him 25 years more for the promise of a son to be fulfilled. Have you prayed for something and believe that God will give this to you? And did you have to wait 25 years? Maybe some of you then. Maybe you've been praying for your father's salvation and only at his deathbed. Maybe you have been saying, Lord, can you do this, my children? So long. 75 years old, God first promised to Abraham a child. Only 25 years later, 100 years old, and he was 100 years old, was exempt. Well, we read about this journey of belief in three verses. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2 to 3. But Abraham said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no offspring. There you are. After I have obeyed you, God, so much, now at 75 years old, still no child. That is Genesis chapter 15. Then in Genesis chapter 17, when God told Abraham that he will have a son, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? So Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child. Took it on. Then in Romans chapter 4, verse 20-22, we read, yet Abraham did not waver from unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And that is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Like Abraham, we need to be persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. How about your life and my life? We have to be persuaded that God is able. We know God. We know God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. However, we must be fully persuaded. So we see in Abraham's life, moving from frustration to resignation and finally persuaded The God has the power to do what he promised. That's why he was credited to him as righteousness. Perhaps this is also our journey. We have to move through frustrations to giving up. Last time. He's not in the door, so he'll be a bit from the open. Last time, someone wrote to me. Say, Albert, this is very long. I hope you can read it all. I helped this brother study the Bible more than 3 years ago. I also persuaded him, for the sake of his family, to resign from MBS, Marina Bay Sand. You know, if you work for Marina Bay Sand, can you cut a high position? It pays you a lot. In these days, I think he told me he was paid 20,000. Gambling pays you money. It was money to pay. It was destroying his marriage. I don't know what he did. My wife was threatening divorce. So I come into study the Bible, think that the word of God begins to bring about change in his life, and then bring about change, because his life has changed, his wife also changed. Well, I finally got him to resign from MDS, and even helped me find another job that don't pay so well, still not so bad. 20,000 to 8,000. Not so bad for me, lah. For me, my salary. This is great. Then he worked there for about 3 months at the time. And then suddenly he dropped off from the study group. I was leaving. I wrote to him. Quickly, how are you? To pray for you. And I wrote to him, monthly. Then I wrote to him quarterly. Then I wrote to him half a year. The last 6 months, I know. From frustration to resignation. And then I probably no chance to do. No chance. Have you ever come to one day and think, no chance of God to pray for someone this is for me? How's that able to do? Robert, I moved out of depression, April, this is last month, on resurrection. And I suddenly realized how great God's love for me. And I could finally accept his grace. All the 3 years he was punishing us. I believe what he had done, but not accepting God's grace. And he wrote something to me. I'm still married. No threatening of divorce, but not marriage still needs to be broken. So, Abraham demonstrated faith in God. I obey. Maybe it sounds a bit like us in the early days of our Christian life, right? Early days of Christian life, we really obeyed, right? John, we didn't know much, lah. We didn't have much, we don't know much, and we just obey. Long John, anyhow, judge, lah. But then as we grow up more and more, and we have the cares of the world, and we have all the things we know, we get smarter and smarter and smarter. Believing in God becomes difficult. Kakyanga. A lot of our problems of us is that we are too smart. And so we want to fully understand before we believe. Hell is proof of frustration that God did not give us what we want, or did not show us what we want to see. And finally, we give up resignation. And then finally, by God's grace, fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he wants. So, notice two huge moments: obeying, believing. And thirdly, by willingness. Obey, believing, willing. Abraham was willing to offer his son up from his back to God. Remember? Remember the story? Said to us in Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham, no! Isaac didn't know. But Abraham knows that God wants him to sacrifice son. So God isn't it unreasonable? Make me wait for 25 years, and then when my son has come of age, sacrificing. He who had embraced the promise about sacrifice was about to sacrifice his one and only son. We know the story, no? When the son asked him, "Father, you don't have an animal, a ram, to sacrifice me." Abraham says, "God will provide that." These days, people say, "No, there is no worry of God will provide the ram." The willingness of Abraham to give up his only son. Remember another father who did not give up, who was also willing to give up his son, but never provided an escape. Abraham was willing to give up his only son, but God provided an escape. Remember another father who was willing to give up his son, but never was there. Escape. Do you know who it is? God, our Heavenly Father, gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Willingness of Abraham to give up his only son reminds me of the words written by Jim Elliot. You do not know him? He was a one of the five missionaries who was trying to reach out to the Guarani people in Capital, or sometimes shortened, it's called Angkor Indians. He was killed. But when he opened his diary to see later on, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot." You see, Abraham's journey of faith, after he believed in God, as God started with obeying, then he moved on to believing in God's promise. And then finally, his willingness to give his all. Is this also your journey? Or are you stuck somewhere along? Remember the early days of your Christian life? So willing to obey. As you grow and start doing well in life and this and that, you have this family, you have that, and so forth and so forth. Now believing in God is a bit difficult, really. Oh, God has blessed us, but not. God has blessed us richly more than we deserve. Should be the statement. Chapter 1 of Ephesians 3 says, we are richly blessed. When I tell people in the answer, when I remember once I was telling people, how are you, Albert? I say, really blessed. If I say, don't say loud. See, I sound so proud. Try to be difficult, guy. The one of them people. Especially people very miserable. How are you? Richly blessed. This one man up sheep, Christian's name. But it's true. We are richly blessed. You may be miserable, but I'm richly blessed. But it takes time. It takes time in this journey of living. For me, it involves three times of living. And at each time, it is tied to one person. The first verse is Job 1:21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, Lord taketh, blessed be. I have to say yes, Lord. I hang on to this verse. Then the second time is found in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruits be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Third time, Luke 22, verse 14. And Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. So I had to learn to say three things. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Bless me. Can I say? Then the second thing I must say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, yet I will rejoice. I can be in the poor man's house, yet I will rejoice. Worse than being in the poor man's house is to see all your friends in the rich man's house and you'll be named in the poor man's house. Yet, I will be trusted. And finally, not my will, but thine be done. And this was a prayer that I prayed for my wife when she was suffering from Miller Fisher syndrome. You don't know what it is for us, she said. Known as MFS, Miller Fisher syndrome. I said, Lord, please heal her. Not my will, but thy will. So we all also need to take our journey to the Lord after we believe him. Being, believing, and believing. So we continue to look at verse 8 and 9, where why is applicable to us? This is about Abraham, yes? No, but look at verse 8 and 9. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Jews, that's us, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations shall be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The gospel was given in advance to Abraham, is now given to the Gentiles, and that's us. So we can also see that this verse applies to us. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We can be the man of faith. Do this verse, those who rely on faith, it resonate with you? Or are you still relying on self? Or are you still relying on your connections? Or are you still a still relying on money, friends? Or are you relying on faith, like Abraham, will also be blessed along with Abraham? Faith has a blessing in you. You don't know. That's the answer. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. Do you know what is Abraham blessed? Perhaps Pastor John had already done the study with you on Abraham's blessing. He must have, as you navigate through the Old Testament. Here is my son. To be blessed along with Abraham is to be used by God for God's purposes. Is that so? Isn't that Abraham's life? God uses him for his purposes. If someone had told me that when I was a teenager that I'll be used by God for his purposes, I'd hope for, but I would find it hard to believe. Yet today I am amazed at the opportunity God has given to me to serve him. Over tea time, I will tell you a little bit more about the mushroom initiative and ask you to pray with me on how we can do the mushroom initiative and bring the good news all across the internet. But not to get time here. Here is to look at God's will. You see, we can be used by God for his purposes, not necessarily for the spectacular or for the successful things my words can do. Not all of you are like me. And I know that you can. We are made differently. God made me in a way which allows me to go into the nooks and corners. People say, cannot. I say, why not? And then move forward. And then somehow or other, when I hit my head on the door, God opens it. If not, my head will be damaged. By being used by God to be very mundane. And I'll share with you a story. 2 weeks ago, I met a lady whose husband was a missionary. She supported him faithfully. Then sadly, 10 over years ago, he passed away. And she had to care for their family. Now her daughters are both adults, independent. One of them has moved to work to Australia. The other one has become a pilot. But she has to continue to care for her intellectually inability son, who's now 35 years old. Very difficult. At the time, we all say education is something, but I'm still looking at it. Not correct to say education is something. It must be intellectually inability. Because after a while, words for them become, you know what I mean? So now it's called intellectually inability sign. You down to 5 years. I met her in a neighborhood coffee shop to pass her some vitamin B3. Because she's getting old and say, we better keep on taking the vitamin B3. We increase your immunity, you need the most, you know, break. Because this son of hers is very strong. You know? Sometimes she pushed her. Say, you have to look at this. And we can sit down there and listen to her after passing her the vitamin D3, sit down at a coffee shop there, even drink him coffee, but because now I don't drink things. So I forget the coffee. I'm sitting there with her for 1.5 hours to 2 hours, just listen. She needed someone to care for how to care for the son of challenges. But I also saw something very interesting. In the neighborhood where she is, there are many ladies facing numerous challenges. Even one would have difficulty feeding her family because her husband takes the money from her, beat her. Many ladies facing numerous challenges. However, they get the truth. Because they know a truth. And yet, they seem a cheerfulness despite the difference. So I can see this lady. Is she not actually rich by now? For all the ladies that nobody pays attention to, those uneducated ladies, those ladies who are from that country, married Chinese and into Singapore and stay there, they don't have language proficiency, and that's treated as not very smart. This lady, you see in her the cheerfulness despite the challenges. He's not about using her for his purposes. Is she not spectacularly used by God? All of us can be used by God for his purposes. Even when we are constrained by circumstances, like this friend that I mentioned, that are constrained by the care of this intellectually disabled child, and the way I look at it, she will look after him traditionally because he's strong. A life of faith, our journey of faith. If we rely on faith like Abraham, we will have the best future. Now let's continue because we need to navigate all the verses. Before you get lost, let me give you an overview of Galatians chapter 3, verse 1-14. Firstly, it's quite obvious, Paul was dealing with the foolishness of the Galatians. And then in these coming verses, Paul is now focusing on the futility of legalism. We see this very clearly in chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. We read, "For all who rely on the works of the law," see, those who rely on faith, compared to those who rely on the works, the law, "are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law." Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. To summarize all this, let me just mention a statement that you may have heard before. Have you heard this statement before? Those who live by the law, they will die by the law. Or sometimes improvised, those who live by the gun will die by gun. Okay. Those who live by war will die by war. Okay. But this famous statement is, those who live by the law will die by the law. What does it mean? It means that those who rely on rules, regulation, legalistic efforts to find righteousness will fail. Why so? For no one is perfect, and therefore no one can perfectly keep the law. To try to make yourself right with God, justify yourself right with God by keeping the law, brings nothing but the penalty of the law. Shouldn't this awareness drive us to seek God's grace instead? But the devil is very smart, no? He will never allow us to believe God's grace. My friends say, "Albert, I could not believe that God would forgive me. And I therefore see the need to punish myself. For 3 years, they go into the depression. It's only last night, good and I'm feeling. After resurrection, the last 10 days, I've been doing nothing, read the Bible day and night. Amen. And I find the Bible is so interesting. The devil is very smart. we have the grace of God in our lives, then we've done something wrong, he tells us, hey, God cannot forgive you. He prevents us to go to God's grace. Yes, there are consequences for our sins that we obey, but forgiveness is always there. There's two kinds of punishment, right? The external punishment and the internal punishment. This, my friend, he feels that he also needs to punish himself independently. But God says, you don't need to. You will have to pay for the consequences of the sin. Your marriage with your wife will be affected, for sure. Your relationship with your children will be affected, for sure. But in your heart, you can accept my grace. You can find my fruit. And if we find God's forgiveness faster, accept his grace, we will be powerful. But sometimes even we prefer to say, I deserve it. Well, those who live by the law will die on it. Those who want to be justified through keeping of the law brings nothing but a penalty. And you know, law is very shouldn't this drive us sick days? Now, finally, don't worry, we'll have breakfast soon. Finally, in verse 13 to 14, Paul wrote about the faithfulness of Christ. The foolishness of the Galatians, the futilities of legalism, and now, in verse 13 to 14, Paul wrote about the faithfulness. We read, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the pole. He redeems us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ redeems us from one thing. He redeems us for two things. What is the one thing he redeems us from? The curse of the law. The law will tell you, you cannot be in. You are a sinner and will always be a sinner. That's the curse of the law. You cannot be in. No matter how you try. Now, I don't run the cross. Great question. Not hesitation. Younger, I didn't. But for a long time, I never ran across with life. Firstly, except for the older, not so fast. But from time to time, I run so the cross, not very early. Then yellow still thinking about it. There's some past, hey, was it written before you cross the line? Or oh, did I sell cross the line, they've back. Thankfully, so far, the moment, we didn't feel a little. The curse of God, try your best, keep it as you plan to die, you fall down. Run across the red line. Just made it without holding it. Then Christ redeemed us for two things. Firstly, for blessing given. That blessing. He redeems us so that he could give us blessing given. This we have spoken about earlier, right? So let's not go through that again. But secondly, he gives us by faith promise. Why was the Holy Spirit given? Well, we all know, let me repeat, the Holy Spirit will help us walk God from beginning to end. Without the Holy Spirit, We cannot continually live life in faith. Holy Spirit empowers, guides, sanctify, comfort, as the seal of salvation, counsel the believers, enable us biblical understanding, convicts us of sin, produces the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, grants spiritual griefs, strengthen believers to obey, believe, and the willingness to live in a manner that pleases God. So, are we living in keeping with the Holy Spirit? Or are we grieving or resisting? Grieving or resisting the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you how we grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a simple thing. Same thing as how we grieve our wife. You want to know how to grieve your wife? Very simple. Don't talk to her. Don't listen to her. Right? Don't chase you. That's not me. How do you grieve your children? When they come back from school, you're not there to listen to them. Right? You have a relationship with someone and you don't talk and you don't listen. If you have a relationship with God and you don't talk and you don't listen, is that right? We grieve the Holy Spirit and we will not preach gospel and we will not pray according to gospel. Yes. Go ahead, same point. We're so busy in no time. Give some time. Listen what is learned. Talk to him. What we learn from this dream. Well, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Similarly, this has happened to us. But more than being righteous before God, because of Christ's righteousness, we are redeemed also for two things. Be blessed by the blessing that God gave to him, and also they are given the gift. So my parting question could be this. Are you looking for more blessing? Or are you longing for your blessing? Looking for more blessing? Or longing for your blessing? You live by faith. Get this spring inside be a blessing. Because the blessing of the virgin is that God uses you as ready. Similarly, so fathers. Brother David, thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit is here with us. We will bring the word to life, you know. Thank you, Jesus.